you're going to listen to a telephone conversation between a caller and a call centre operator. As you listen, complete the numbered spaces in the identification form in the book. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Platinum Card Service, Rebecca speaking. How may I help you?
I've got a few problems with my credit card account.
OK. What is your credit card number?
Let's see. It's here somewhere. Ah, here it is.
Can I just take the card number, please?
Yes, it's 6992.
6992.
3443.
3443.
1147.
1147.
8921.
8921. Right. Can I just check that? 6992. 3443. 1147. 8921.
That's it.
And your name?
Carlos da Silva.
I just need to check a few details for identification and security, if you'll bear with me.
That's okay.
And what's your postcode?
SE18PB.
SE18PB.
That's it.
Vauxhall Close, London?
Yes, that's right.
And the house number?
43.
And can you give me your date of birth?
13th of the 7th, 63.
And one further check, if I may. Can you give me your mother's maiden name?
Yes, it's Moore.
Is that M-O-O-R-E?
Yes, that's it.
Before the caller and operator continue their telephone conversation, look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen to the next part of the conversation and answer questions 6 to 10. For these questions, there are three alternatives, A, B and C. Decide which alternative is the most suitable answer and circle the correct letter.
Yes. Now, can we get on with this?
Yes, sir, certainly. I'm sure you'll appreciate that all these checks are necessary for security reasons. So, what exactly is the problem?
Problems.
OK.
Well, first, your computer seems to have gone mad. I sent you £500, and on the statement for the account, it shows that I only paid £300.
Yes. The account does only show £300 was paid.
Well, I paid the £500 in at the bank, and I have my receipt, and my bank statement shows that £500 has been taken from my account.
Oh, I see. What I'll do is check with the bank and see what they say.
OK.
You said there was something else?
Yes, as if that wasn't enough. My account shows that £107.27 was paid to a company called Pan Express. I don't know who this is.
Let's have a look. Well, it is genuine.
I can assure you, it's not mine.
It was made on the evening of the 12th of May. Maybe it's a restaurant bill you forgot about?
There's no way that... Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
Oh, it's okay. I've just realised what it is. It is a restaurant bill, The name of the company is different from the name of the restaurant. My mistake. I'm sorry.
That's OK. Was there anything else?
I don't know if I dare.
What is it, anyway?
The amount of interest seems to have gone up.
If you look at your statement for April, you'll see that the rate went down from 16.27% to 14.99% that month.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Was that everything?
Yes, basically it is.
OK.
And can you check my payment?
Oh, yes, I'll do it. Can I phone you back?
I'll be at home for the next 2 hours. I have to leave at 11.
Right. What's your number?
020-7989-7182.
Hold on. 020-7979?
No, it's 7989 and then 7182.
So it's 020-7989-7182.
Yes, that's it.
OK, I'll phone you straight back.
Thanks. Bye.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
You will hear two students and their tutor discussing a survey project.
First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 16. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 11 to 16.
So, what's the survey about, Tom?
It's about where students want to live and how they choose. Basically, their accommodation preferences. We've actually tried it out with a few students already.
OK, that sounds fine. So, to start with, how many questions have you got? 20?
Is that too many?
Yes, it is, really. People get fed up answering lots of questions and they stop thinking about their answers.
Right, so we need to think about that again. What do you think of the first three questions?
You want to know what affects students' choice of accommodation when they go to university?
Yes, we want to find out which has the most effect. The cost, the number of rooms in the house or flat, or the distance from campus.
And then we asked another question.
Oh, yes. What else did you want to find out?
Well, we wondered whether public transport was important. You know, not many students have cars, so it might be quite important for them to be near somewhere where they could catch a bus or train.
Yeah, that's a good question. Before you ask any more people, I've got a couple of suggestions for improving the questionnaire. First of all, I think you need to ask fewer questions. As I said, 20 is really too many. I'd cut it down to 10 if I were you.
Okay, 10 questions only. And is there anything else you think we should do?
Well, yes. Some of the questions are actually quite complicated. I think you should make them clearer. I mean, I think they should be easier to understand.
And what do you think about asking more questions about cost?
No, I don't think you need any more about cost, but you could ask a couple more questions about the reasons for students' decisions.
So we should ask some more questions with why?
Yes, I think you'd get quite a lot more information if you did that.
Thank you.
Before you hear the rest of the talk, you have some time to look at questions 17 to 20. Now listen and answer questions 17 to 20.
We've already got some results from our first questionnaire. Do you think we could use them?
I don't see why not. What have you found out so far?
Well, the number of rooms was only important for 16% of the people we asked. It looks like a lot of students are quite happy to share a room, and even fewer people were concerned about being near a bus stop. Only 10%, in fact.
I'm surprised about that. But what about the distance from the university?
Well, that was quite important. Around 20% of the students we asked wanted to be close to campus.
That makes sense. And what about the cost?
Yeah, as we expected, the cost was by far the most important factor. More than half the students were concerned with the cost. 54% to be exact.
Only 54%? I thought it would be closer to 80%.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear two students, Sharon and Zhao Li, talking to their tutor about a presentation they gave the previous week. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 23. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 23.
So, Sharon and Zhao Li, in your presentation last week, you were talking about the digital divide, the gap between those who can effectively use communication tools, such as the internet, and those who can't. And you compared the situation here in Northern Ireland with Southeast China. Right. So, I asked you to do some self-evaluation, watching the video of your presentation and thinking about the three main criteria you're assessed by: content, structure, and technique. What do you think was the strongest feature of the presentation when you watched it? Sharon?
Well, I was surprised, actually, because I felt quite nervous. But when I watched the video, it didn't show as much as I expected.
So which of the criteria would that come under?
Confidence?
That's not actually one of the criteria as such. Zhao Li?
Technique? It's body language and eye contact, isn't it? Well, I didn't think I looked all that confident, but I think that our technique was generally good, like the way we designed and used the PowerPoint slides.
So you both feel happiest about that side of the presentation?
Yeah.
Okay, now on the negative side, what would you change if you could do it again?
Well, at first I'd thought that the introduction was going to be the problem, but actually I think that was okay. We defined our terms and identified key issues. It was more towards the end. The conclusion wasn't too bad, but the problem was the questions. We hadn't really expected there'd be any, so we hadn't thought about them that much.
Okay, anything else?
Well, like Zhao Li says, I thought the conclusion was okay, but when I watched this on the video, I thought the section on solutions seemed rather weak.
Can you think why?
Well, We explained what people are doing about the digital divide in China and Northern Ireland, but I suppose we didn't really evaluate any of the projects or ideas. It was just a list, and that was what people were asking us about at the end, mostly.
You now have some time to look at questions 24 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 24 to 30.
Okay. Now, I also asked you to get some peer evaluation from the other students.
Yes. Well, people said it was interesting, like the fact that in China, the internet was used more for shopping than in Northern Ireland. They said sometimes it was a bit hard to understand because we were talking quite fast. But we didn't think so when we watched the video.
No, it's a bit different, though, because you know all this information already.
Mm.
If you're hearing it for the first time, you need more time to process it. That's why signposting the structure and organisation of the talk is important.
That seemed okay. No one mentioned that as a problem. Some people said that we could have had more on the slides, like some of the other groups had nearly everything they said written up on the visuals as well.
Mm.
But other people said the slides were good. They had just the key points.
Yes.
And most people said we had quite good eye contact and body language. They all pointed out we'd overrun. They all said we were 5 minutes over. But we timed it afterwards on the video, and it was only 3 minutes.
We were a bit unsure about the background reading at first, but I think we did as much as we could in the time. Anyway, no one commented on that under content. But one thing that did come out was that they liked the fact we'd done research on both Northern Ireland and China. Most other people had just based their research on one country. We managed to get quite a lot of data from the internet, although we had to do our own analysis, and we did our own surveys as well in both countries. So the class gave us best feedback for content, but it was all okay.
Right. Well, that's quite similar to the feedback I'm giving you. I was very impressed by the amount of work you'd done and by your research methodology. So, actually, I'm giving you full marks for content. 5.
Oh.
The structure of the presentation was good, but not quite as good as the content. So, I gave that 4. And the same for technique. So, well done.
Thank you.
Now, the next stage is to write up your report. So, just a few pointers for you here. First of all, in your presentation, I think your ending was rather abrupt. You suddenly just stopped talking.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big problem, but think about your closing sentences in your report. You want to round it off well.
Mm.
One thing I forgot to mention earlier was that I felt a very strong point was that after you'd given your results, you explained their limitations.
The fact that we didn't have a very reliable sample in terms of age in China.
Yes, that section. So don't forget to include that.
Mm.
And you had some excellent charts and diagrams. But maybe you could flesh out the literature review a bit. Mm. I can give you some ideas for that later on if you want. Okay, is there anything else you want to ask?
No, thank you.
Thanks.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part 4.
Part 4.
You are going to hear a talk about the English pubs. As you listen, complete the notes below.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
In English pubs, the food is usually plain but of good quality. In fact, to taste good traditional English food, you would do well to visit a reputable pub. Many businessmen habitually have lunch in a pub near their office. In the country, the pub is often part of an inn where you can put up for the night. The Englishman's favourite drink is beer. There are three different methods of serving beer in Britain. As you'd expect, some beer is served in bottles. Beer that comes from a tap is called draft beer, and there are two different methods of serving it. Keg beer is served with modern method, which uses a gas called carbon dioxide, and traditional draft has no gas in it, and a pump is used to pull the beer up the pipe and out of the tap. Keg beer is served colder than traditional draft. It's easier to look after, and some keg beers are sold almost everywhere in Britain. This means that you can always have exactly the same drink in any pub that sells a particular keg beer. Traditional British beer is probably quite different from the beer in your country. It has no gas in it, and it's not served very cold. But this is not a mistake. Traditional beer drinkers will tell you that this allows you to taste the beer better. Traditional draft is not always looked after as well as it should be, but in a good pub, a traditional draft beer drinker will tell you there can be no better drink. There are a lot of different breweries, companies that make beer, in Britain, but they make the same types of beer, and you can see them in the list below. Lager is the kind of beer that is common in many countries. Normally keg is served cold. Strong lager is often available in bottles. Bitter is the most popular kind of British beer. It tastes slightly bitter and can be keg or traditional draft. Most pubs have more than one kind. Guinness is a thick, almost black, bitter-tasting Irish beer. Pale ale is less strong and a bit sweeter than bitter, and often is keg. Mild is a fairly sweet beer, often dark, not as strong as bitter. It can be keg or traditional. It cannot be found everywhere. Bottled beers are sometimes served cold. There are several kinds available. For example, light ale like pale ale. Brown ale is a brown, often rather sweet beer. Stout is a very dark beer. Law regulates the pub's opening times. Local variations are possible, but usually a pub is open from 11:30 to 3 o'clock, and from 5:30 to 10:30 or 11 o'clock. Betting is forbidden in pubs. Children are not allowed on licensed premises, which may mean that father and mother cannot have a quiet drink together if children are with them. In the old days, when people drank too much and pubs were often rowdy, the law against children entering pubs was a wise one. Today, drunkenness is much less frequent than it was, say 50 years ago. It would be quite wrong to consider the average English pub as anything other than a respectable, friendly place that provides good drink, good food, and a pleasant social atmosphere. Far too often the foreigner has read accounts of sordid 19th century drinking places, haunted by people whose one desire was to drink as much as they could afford as quickly as possible.
That is the end of part 4.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.